This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 18 and 91. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded August 15th, Australia, Bangladesh, Chile, Cuba, Eritrea, Faroe Islands, Fiji, Finland, Germany, Kashmir, Korea North, Kyrgyzstan, Madagascar, Mongolia, Oklahoma, Peru, Romania, South Carolina, Spain, Tibet, UK, USA, Vanuatu, Vatican, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Most of you should be hearing this before the great total solar eclipse across the U.S. of Monday, August 21st, 2017. There's a lot of interest, of course, in not only viewing the eclipse, but observing its effects on radio propagation. I'll get to that in a moment. But I have a request direct from Rob Rothfarb of the Exploratorium in San Francisco about their live broadcast covering the eclipse. Supported by NASA, we're embarking on our expedition to transmit live telescopic images of the sun during the eclipse, along with live coverage in English and Spanish, from two locations along the path of totality, Madras, Oregon, and Casper, Wyoming. We capture images with high dynamic range and transmit to satellite with a video frame rate of 59.94 frames per second. Our telescopes are equipped with multiple filters, which allow us to capture a variety of images of the sun in real time. He says, I direct our stream transmission from satellite downlink point to encoding for internet distribution on our website, on our mobile app, and to NASA. They'll be including our streams on their MegaCast eclipse coverage page, www.nasa.gov/eclipse-live. I'm also the creator-developer of our free Total Solar Eclipse mobile app for Android and iOS, which allows live viewing of our video streams of the eclipse. Complete information about all this is at their website, www.exploratorium.edu/eclipse. Also, complete info about the satellite downlink is there if you just add on slant satellite. Of course, there'll be much more media coverage. He says CNN is doing a 360-degree video live, probably from Carbondale, Illinois. Of course, even if you're in the path of totality, it only lasts between 2 and 3 minutes. So what else will you do before and after that? How about monitoring radio to see if stations which normally cannot be heard in the daytime are temporarily heard thanks to the darkness under the eclipse? Clear channel medium wave stations are the ones most easy to check. There's an article in Sky and Telescope of June 29th available on the web about such monitoring, which Randy Stewart points out. And if you're not directly in the path, you may notice some effects across the path or along the path. Temporary deletion of the signal-absorbing D-layer also affects the lower shortwave bands. But, of course, in the U.S., there's nobody transmitting in the middle of the day on the lower frequencies as far as broadcast stations. On ABDX, Art Jackson reminds us of an amateur project called PropNet to see what can be heard on 80, 30, and 10 meters, certain frequencies. Read more about that at propnet.org. In the last several issues of DX Listening Digest, we've either presented or linked to numerous articles on the subject of the eclipse, many of them involving radio monitoring. They're in the propagation section toward the bottom of our large files, worldofradio.com. By the way, are you fed up with running across Brother Hysterical trying to draw sycophants into his cult compound for the eclipse? A much more enlightening convention happens to occur nearby in North Charleston, South Carolina, starting August 19th. Read about it at www.atheists.org. Artie Bigley and Tim Gaynor sent a story from Radio New Zealand, August 11th, headline, Australian Senate rejects bill to restore ABC shortwave. Rejected a proposed legislation to restore the international radio service. The bill would have required the ABC to restore shortwave transmission, which the broadcaster ended in January. The move was described in the bill as having deprived communities in Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, and other parts of the Pacific of access to reliable emergency broadcasting. But the Senate committee concluded that the measures proposed in the bill were not an appropriate way to address the concerns raised about the end of the shortwave services. One of the ways I amuse myself is by catching stations broadcasting incorrect time signals. One known to do that is Bangladesh Betar 15505, such as at the beginning of their Urdu service at 14 UT. It's been almost inaudible for months, but reception has been improving slightly, so I've kept checking it. And finally, on August 14th and 15th, I could make out the time signal, or miss time signal, which ended 1 minute, 11 and a half seconds before 14 UT. Don't you believe it? Who cares? Well, in the unlikely event that someone were relying on this time signal for precise navigation, it could make the difference between life and death. Otherwise, it's pointless to broadcast a time signal if it cannot be accurate. On Hard Cordiax, Claudio Galas in Chile reports on the Chilean pirate on 6925 called RCW, which means Radio Compañía Worldwide. He heard it August 13th in the daytime at 1652 to 18 UT with a special program about La Voz de Chile, the former national broadcaster, as well as Radio Nacional de Chile, and a successor on shortwave Voz Cristiana, with archives of previous humorous programs and music from the 60s and 70s. He reports a SINPO there of 55454 and provides a YouTube recording of it. Another way I amuse myself is by catching stations such as Radio Vanacubo on frequencies where they are not supposed to be due to harmonics and or Leapfrog mixing products. The 23 UTR is particularly fruitful for that on the 25-meter band, as I monitored August 8th. First, I heard RHC on 11810, parallel to 6000. That's the Mesa Redonda TV simulcast, which during that hour only is separate from other RHC Spanish frequencies. But what's it doing on 11810? Well, that's a leapfrog of 11950 over the English frequency, 11880, another 70 kilohertz lower. Then I heard the regular RHC Spanish on 12,000. That might have been the second harmonic of 6,000, but not in this case because that had separate programming. Rather, it was 11760, leaping over that English frequency again, 11880, another 120 kilohertz beyond. And I also heard English audio around 12020, which was 11880, leaping over 11950, another 70 kilohertz beyond that. Filed under Eritrea, or is it Eritrea non, an intriguing new UNID has been reported on 5940. We first heard about it from Ed Sylvester in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, from 1452 to 15 UT on August 4th, with modern African-like music and vocals electronic-based, he says. And reported again on August 8th at 1855 by Frank Bast in France, with African music, and they said Salam Aleikum just before the news, but were not positive about the language. Many others tried to monitor it, such as Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria, who says it was August 9th at 1855 to 2000, unknown transmitter, unknown target, unknown language, and a weak signal. And on August 10th, he says it started around 1830 and went off, or at least to open carrier, at 2010 UT. Without any definite info, the consensus seems to be it is probably from Eritrea or to Eritrea, an external broadcast, but the characteristics lean more toward it coming out of Eritrea. In fact, Wolfgang Büschel calls it Radio Asmara. That would probably mean they have an additional transmitter to the two heard occasionally on the 40-meter ham band. He was reporting at this time at 0450 to 0511 UT on August 11th using a remote receiver in Qatar. Greg Hardison in California says, contrary to reports, that Faroe Islands is inactive on 531 kHz. He heard it August 14th around 1214 UT using a remote receiver in Denmark and matched up the audio to the station's web stream. Usually specializing in shortwave, Ron Howard on the California coast reports Radio Fiji 1 presumed on medium wave, 558 kHz, as you mentioned last week. They have an improved signal. This was August 12th, before and after 13 UT, mostly nonstop religious singing and music. And we also have a press report via Idun Ritz at mediumwave.info, originating with the Fiji Sun Online, dated August 12th. Fijians and all maritime islands can now tune in to the recently installed and clearer AM signal that will be broadcast on two main radio stations. The new transmissions, a $15 million facility, is managed by Fiji Broadcasting Corporation and funded by the government of Japan, airing programs on both Radio Fiji 1 and Gold. They're not very clear on the frequencies, but Fiji 1 is on 558, and the other one, Gold, is on 990 kHz. The Emmanuel Mendeth, info about the European Dex Council Conference in Finland, August 18th to 20th. Some special low-power broadcasts were planned, and a test was carried out on August 9th on 9290 approximately. So we can expect that frequency, or maybe 9270, to be on the air during at least part of the conference. Ron Howard in California reports All India Radio Srinagar Kashmir presumed on 4950, August 11th at 1341. He says, a nice surprise to actually catch some audio above threshold, clearly in Hindi. Rather a rare event for me, as most days I can only hear their carrier. What has happened to one of the numerous clandestine broadcasts for North Korea, Voice of the Martyrs? At least on August 10th, the Sesquiar transmission at 1530 UT was missing, says Ivo Ivanov. It had been via Tashkent, Uzbekistan, on 7525, but it checked many alternative frequencies and cannot hear it either. 7505, 7510, 7515, 7520, and 7530. Via Bob Wilkner in Nassau, some logs from David Sharp in New South Wales. Kyrgyzstan, KGR1 on 4010.21, August 4th at 1800. He says they were broadcasting news or something similar. It was a warbly and drifty transmitter. And he also reports Radio Malagasy on 5009.93, August 4th at 1853. Nice vocals getting through, but difficult copy with a soft-spoken announcer. We used to hear this around Sinon 0230 UT in North America, but not reported here for a long time, so I wonder if it is not active in their mornings. In the Ontario DX Association, Mark Cody reports hearing World Christian Broadcasting, Madagascar, 11610 in Mandarin, August 10th at 2101, but also in parallel on 11870. Is this a mistake or a new transmission? 11870, of course, is a frequency used by their other station, KNLS in Alaska, but only between 08 and 13 UT. So could KNLS be duplicating programming on Madagascar at the same time? The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 1891. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Chuck Ermatinger, who sent another contribution via PayPal to woradio@yahoo.com. One may also contribute via check or money order in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to World of Radio, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. There are two Asian stations on 4895. Ron Howard in California was hearing one and at first assumed it was All India Radio Kurseong India. However, It now appears to be Mongolian Radio 2 reactivated. Heard August 10th and 11th at 1246 and 1131 UT respectively, and until 1350. Actually, he was only getting a carrier, could not detect any modulation, but Dave Valko and Hiroyuki Komatsubara were also hearing it and did have faint audio, which they thought was Mongolia and not India. However, Mongolia is not on their other frequency of 4830. And another Mongolian frequency, possibly, is 7260, which not only has China and Vanuatu, but a heterodyne from a third station. More monitoring about all this is needed. IRCA website has a very useful PDF listing of hundreds of TIS and HAR stations in the U.S., many of them on the X-band. I searched on Oklahoma and didn't find much in this state, but there were some odd ones on split frequencies, all with the same call sign, Kilo Delta 8618 in Bartlesville, licensed to ConocoPhillips Communications as Industrial Business Pool. The frequencies are 1614, 1628, 1652, 1676, and one not split, 1700 kilohertz. So the split ones should really stand out if they are ever active. I am not aware of any reports of them. I certainly have not heard them. But I will have to seek them out the next time at the OK Mozart Festival in Bartlesville. That call sign format of two letters plus four numbers, I think, implies they are mobile or portable units rather than fixed units with three letters and four numbers. From David Sharp in New South Wales via Bob Wilkner, NASA, a couple of Peruvians on the 60-meter band he logged with their precise frequencies on August 5th. At 1129 UT, a big head against the nominal frequency of 4747 was Radio Wanta 2000 on 4747.19. He says it's very sporadic and not heard the day before. And Radio Tarma, probably the one, on 4774.92. Radio Romania International is running its annual George Enescu International Festival contest. If you participate, this will, of course, prove that they still have a shortwave audience. They offer some small cultural prizes for the winners. It runs through September 30th, and you need to answer questions posed on the air and online. And there are lots of rules you better read, too. You can find them at their website, www.rri.ro. It's a very good day if you can hear anything on all four scheduled frequencies of Radio Exterior de España. Sometimes there are only three on the air, or even only two, but you can never be sure which ones will be there and which ones not. That includes the strongest signal for us when it's on 17855 to North America, between 18 and 22 UT, starting at 14 UT on Saturdays and Sundays. Spanish DXers are very concerned about the missing frequencies, suspecting, as I have, that REE is turning them off deliberately to see whether anyone notices or cares. On the Noticias de X Yahoo group, Pedro Sedano, chief coordinator of the Spanish Listeners Association, as I translated it, says this in a Google translation I have enhanced. The problems of REE come about as a result of the cuts in their technical and human resources. On one hand, they have a few damaged transmitters, some used as a source of spare parts. On the other hand, the technical team is restless, which, in addition to the method of broadcasting, makes failures more obvious. Failures were not so detectable before. Now it's clear when transmitters fail. Not everything is bad. Now the programming is not repeated. Much of it is from other stations in the group, so it gains in freshness, even if there is no geographical distinction. All the frequencies emit the same thing. The whole matter of broadcasting 4 hours on four frequencies at a time means a saving of personnel, having automated part of the process. But of course, the breakdowns, because the equipment is already starting to get old due to lack of spare parts and exclusive maintenance personnel. REE's technical secretariat automatically receives reception reports from the AER website, REE.AER.org.ES, and have the commitment to send QSLs to correct ones. But nobody has reported to us that they have kept their word. In any case, we must make it possible for REE to continue on the air in the best possible way. So collaboration is very important. Well, I should mention the other frequencies, 15520, 17715. And the fourth transmitter is split. It's on 21620 weekends when there's extended broadcast until 1800, and then it's on 15390. August 11th at 1404 UT, I was surprised to hear a barely audible AM signal on 15555 instead of WJHR Florida in upper sideband, which is the only thing listed. But it was gone at 1426, and by that time WJHR was on and audible. I think most likely that was Voice of Tibet via Madagascar, which has a history of jumping frequencies to thwart Chi-Com jamming. It's supposed to be on 15565 at 1400 to 1430. Mike Terry forwards news from the website of the National Physical Laboratory in Britain about maintenance outages at MSF, the 60 kHz VLF time signal station. It's their annual maintenance from August 14th to 31st, including greasing of the stays, which I assume refers to what we call guy wires. The service will be off the air between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. BST each day, including weekends, unless weather is unsuitable. And if they're finished before 19 local time, the service will be restored as soon as possible. Anyhow, with that off 60 kHz, Europeans might have a chance, or a better chance, of hearing our time signal station, WWVB, on the same frequency. I mentioned before, Hamburger Local Radio, our shortwave affiliate in Germany, was off the air for maintenance in early August, but should now be back since August 13th, including the World of Radio times, Saturday at 0630 on 6190, Saturday at 1431 on 7265, and Sunday at 1030 UT on 9485, all upper sideband plus reduced carrier. WRMI still plays world music here and there for an hour, even if not specified on the schedule. Sunday, August 13th, after 22 UT, on 11580, I was pleased to hear one of my favorite tunes from the world music loop. It's a swing song with a saxophone solo, but as ever, it's not identified. Checking the schedule grid of WRMI, at 22 to 23 on weekdays on 11580 is the Rai Argentina relay in Italian, but those 2 hours on weekend are left blank. I also happen to run across a somewhat interesting show on WWCR 9350, Friday, August 11th at 2100. It called itself Thunderbird Radio, the only American Indian program on shortwave. Although with Indian elements, it soon turned out to be run by Baptists. It's not shown on the WWCR schedule as such, but I did find their website, www.thunderbirdradio.org. It's apparently related to a program with a different title on WWCR, which I have not yet confirmed, called Buffalo River Church, Wednesdays at 20:30 UT on 9350 and 15825. Friday, August 11th at 1650, and still during the Friday-only English extension at 2001, I was surprised to find KVOH off frequency, 17777 instead of 17775. I guess it was a mispunch, although I don't see why they'd be punching the frequency since there's no other one used by that transmitter. I missed checking on the following Monday, but by August 15th, they were back on the proper frequency. WMLK, Assemblies of Yahweh in Pennsylvania, remains off the air from 9275, so I checked their Facebook for the latest info. There are just a few very brief entries about their progress in getting back. on July 10th. They say the Assemblies of Yahweh administration signed a contract to purchase a new WMLK radio transmitter building. And then on July 26th, and these were shown with photos, progress, batter boards installed for measurements, digging of the building footers will begin shortly. And on July 27th, lines for digging the new building footers. Due to a high noise level at home in Kalamazoo, Andy Robbins has been employing remote receivers, such as the one in New Zealand, to hear Radio Vanuatu August 6th at 2217 on 7260. They were talking about preparing for natural disasters and using bureaucratic terms. There was a very strong signal. If you're using a remote shortwave receiver, you might as well listen to a webcast. Rob in Glasgow, Scotland says, the live web stream of Radio Vanuatu is up and running on their webpage with decent audio, www.vbtc.vu/radio-vanuatu, all of that lowercase. Other South Pacific broadcasters I've noticed with live audio are Radio Cook Islands, Radio Fiji, Radio Tonga, and Solomon Islands, but nothing heard from Papua New Guinea. Kai Ludwig in Germany says there are drastic cuts to Vatican Radio via Santa Maria de Galleria since August 1st. All transmissions to Central and Western Europe on 3975, 6070, and 7250 are now gone. And there used to be a late-night edition in Arabic, apparently for immigrants, also gone. And Latin liturgy, which a year ago had already been cut back to Sundays and holidays only, now goes out only on other frequencies to Middle East and Africa. And there may be more cuts as soon as the A season is over and contracts run out October 29th. Even here on 1710 kHz, Jim Renfrew in New York reports to IRCA that he was hearing a station playing Chuck Berry mixed in with some TIS stations August 12th at 0550 UT. Tim Tromp in West Michigan replies that he's been hearing it for a while, such as at 0240 UT, August 13th. They just play oldies with no announcements between songs, and it's the same playlist all the time, generally in the same order. I've heard it for several weeks now, between 01 and 03 UT on 1710. After that, it stays on with an open carrier well into the night. A good signal level, he says, and it seems to be coming from north of him. And also on his blog, he even presents the complete playlist as he monitored it on July 22nd. Ends with Chuck Berry's Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, which is what Jim Renfrew had heard. I wish those and other listeners would triangulate to get a bearing on it. Via Gerald T. Pollard, let me refer you to an excellent tip for rational living, an article in the September issue of The Atlantic, How America Went Haywire, or How America Lost Its Mind. It's available on theatlantic.com. The propagation outlook for Boulder, G1 minor geomagnetic storm levels likely, August 18th with A and K indices reaching 25 and 5, and August 31st, 24 and 5. Solar flux only 68 until August 28th, creeping up to 72 starting August 30th. And that's World of Radio 1891. I'm Glenn Hauser.